Brother Cranmer wanted me to say, Jesus wept, amen, I'm still home. Y'all already said something about that.
I've heard some short verses come up.
Well, we was at the pastor fellowship the other day, and Brother Fenton says he always gets his messages, and they're all in the same letter.
Yeah.
The points are all the same letter. Well, I want to be in the same chapter, but not in the same letter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Lord, I pray that you bless this time, give the word you want me to speak. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Go to Romans 4 right quick. Let's talk about faith. Verse 17 says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed. I want you to underline that. He believed. You see, he believed. Abraham believed God. And if you would read the story of Abraham, you'll understand that he really did. Because when he told him to offer up his son, the promise that God gave him, he said, go and sacrifice your son on the mountain. And the Bible doesn't say that he questioned God, that he did anything. He said he got up early in the morning and he went and he was going to sacrifice his son. It says that before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. God can raise the dead. And we talk about John 11 around here. But can I tell you something? That's my story. I was Lazarus. I was dead. And God raised me from the dead. I always thought when my addictions, all I wanted to do was die. But I was dead already in my sins. And I became alive when I was reborn. And verse 19, let me read the whole thing and we'll go back to this. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith and consider not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not to the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. In verse 19, he didn't look at the outward circumstances. He didn't look at his body. He knew that this promise was coming from God. He wasn't able to do anything about it. That the promise was of God, and God was going to fulfill that promise. And verse 20, it says that he staggered not. He wavered not at the promise. A lot of times we waver. We pray for something, we believe God's going to do it, and then a month later he still hadn't done it, so we believe that he's not going to do it. And let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4. Second Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now go to 2 Kings 4. I'm all over. We're going everywhere. 2 Kings 4. No. Oh. Well, I'm sorry. We're going to start Nate. Now, I'm going to read this whole story. I hate to do this, especially on when everybody's kind of in a hurry. But I want all of us to understand the story. I know we've read this before. In verse 8, and it fell on the day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Now that wasn't a woman that was large. This was a woman that had a lot of things. She was wealthy. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold now, I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, Gehazi, his servant, called the Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king? Excuse me. Or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And a woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I might run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her far off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, Behold, yonder is the Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord had hid it from me, and hath not told me. Then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, Do not deceive me? Then he said unto Gehazi, Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. And the mother child said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them, and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him, and told him, saying, The child is not awakened. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead, and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon the him. And the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he called Gehazi and said, Call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, Take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. Now, everybody's read this story before. In verse 16, this is a woman that has... been doing right. Every time the man of God came by, she fed him. She took care of the man of God. She even had her husband make him a room so he could stay with them at all times that he came by. Now, she didn't ask the man of God for anything. But the man of God says, You know what? I'm going to do something for this woman because she's been so good to me. And Gehazi tells him that, hey, because he's asked her, hey, what do you want? She goes, I want nothing. And Gehazi said, hey, she wants a son. More than anything in the world, she wants a son. So the man of God says, okay, at this time next year, you're going to have a son. Isn't that kind of strange? Y'all remember a story like this? I believe he said it to Zechariah. I believe that he said it to Abraham. You see, what we really don't understand is we don't understand the spiritual side of God. We understand the physical side. We believe that when we see His blessings come, that we see that. But we really don't understand the spiritual side. You see, our Lord and Savior was born of a virgin birth. And if God could put a seed in a woman without using a man, He could sure put a seed in a woman using a man. He could do anything He wants to do. In verse 16, she says, don't lie to me. Don't lie to me. This is my dream. This is what I want more than anything in the world. I want to have a child. I have all the wealth that a woman could want. I have all the things of this earth that earth can supply. But more than anything, my desire is to have a child. So don't lie to me. Don't get my hopes up. And in verse 20, you see that child die. And let's read verse 20. It says, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Don't you think that woman was praying to God? Just like the story of Martha and Mary, they were praying to God that they were praying, Jesus, come so my brother doesn't die. What they didn't understand is Jesus didn't need to be there to save her son, brother. And Jesus didn't need to be there to save his child either. She was praying for that child to be saved. They put him in the room that the man of God was in. The first movie that me and Debbie watched at her house was War Room. And at the end of it, the pastor that moved to town walked in this room and says, there's something about this room. And because of all the prayers, it was a spiritual room. It was her prayer closet. And he walked in here and he said, this thing's baked in. You know, there's something about when you come to church that you feel a holiness at church. There's also should be a feeling of holiness in your home. When he walked into that room, when they put that son in the room, the Spirit of God was in that room because the Spirit of the man of God was in there. That room was meant for that man to stay and pray and read and study God. So there's a spirit in that room, and she put him in that room and she hid him in that room. And when she told her husband that I'm going to go see the man of the God, and he goes, what are you talking about? And she said, It shall be well. Her son had died. It wasn't well. There was no good coming out of the story right then. But she didn't say, my son is dead. She didn't tell her husband, our child has died. She just said, do what I tell you to do. It's going to be well. I just need to go see the man of God. Don't open the door. Don't go in there. It's kind of strange. We're reading about, in the New Testament, if you'll remember, Jesus only took three disciples into the room, into the house, where he was going to raise a girl. In fact, when he got there, all the people were laughing and telling him he was crazy because he said that the child shall rise. She just sleepeth. They knew that child was dead. But he got all the laughers and the scorners and the people that didn't believe out of the house. And then he took the mother and father and his three disciples who believed, and they went in there and he raised a little girl. You see, there's a lot of times when you got people that mean the best in the world, but they are just so negative that they're going to speak negativity in your life. And you need to shut them out. You need to listen to what God tells you. You need to listen to what God says, because that's what really matters. Notice that she never said there was something wrong. She never spoke that there was anything wrong. I think of that when I think of Job. He sinned not with his mouth. And he lost everything, but he sinned not with his mouth. So many times when something happens in our life, that's the first thing we want to do is start running our mouth. We need to be quiet. Verse 26. Run now. This is the man of God talking to his servant. He says, run now and pray thee to meet her and say to her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. This is going to turn out good. You see, her faith was strong. Her soul was vexed, but her faith was strong. She stood on the promises of God. You know, the man of God, she told the man of God not to lie to her. In fact, in verse 28, it says, then she said to the man of God, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? You know what? That could be the same thing to call that Abraham said. I've asked you for a son. You told me I was going to be a father of many nations. Now you're going to tell me to kill the seed. How am I going to be the father of many nations when you tell me to kill my seed? But Abraham didn't say that. You know, Abraham walked with God so long that he knew that God, when God told him to do something, to do it. He was obedient. That's why Abraham was so blessed. He didn't question God. This woman does not understand why her child died. This woman doesn't understand any of this. All she knows is the man of God promised her a child. She had a child and now he's died. And she's going to the man of God saying, why did you lie to me? You know, I love it in the Bible where God says, I cannot lie. That's one thing I can't do. I cannot lie. This needs to be our faith. This needs to be how we stand on the promises of God. And we need to get all the negativity out of our life. And boy, there's a bunch of it. But what's crazy is that there's Christians in our lives, people that go to church and stuff, that will tell us absolutely the wrong thing. They mean well, they're loving, they may be some of our own family, but they need to keep their mouth shut. They need to start speaking blessings into people's life and not cursing. God spoke this world into existence.
Amen.
We're the child of King. We're a child of God. We need to speak blessings into our lives. We need to speak blessings into other people's lives. And if you got something bad to say, don't say it. Just keep it to yourself. I didn't know what to preach on this Sunday because there were so many things I could preach on. I could preach on what God could do in a person's life if they really trust Him. Going to my buddy's house and man I didn't change it, but I had a picture of him when he first came into the village, a heroin addict, skinny, eyes sunk back in his head. And I've watched God work in his life. I watched God do things in his family. I watched him blessing time and time again. And it's a blessing to go up there and talk to him. It's a blessing to hold his kids. I call them my nephews because he's my brother and she's my sister. It's a blessing. And I wanted to preach about that. I could preach about Psalm 37, fret not because of the evildoers. They shall be cut down because something happened over at my other place that needed to happen. And I wanted to preach about that. But this is what God laid on my heart. It is well. I don't care what we're going through, it's well. And if we would just stand on the promises of God and keep what He told us in our head, in our lips, in our mouth, and not say, oh, I've got problems. Oh, this is wrong in my life. Yeah. It is well. It doesn't matter what's going on. H.G. Spafford wrote, it is well.
Amen.
He wrote that. Do you know why he wrote that? He wrote that because he was in Chicago. I forget the story altogether, but I think he was going to a revival over in Europe, right? He sent his wife and daughters along. He had to stay back and do some business, and he put them on an ocean liner. Yeah. The ocean liner got sunk. And for weeks he didn't know what was going on. For days he didn't know what was going on. And finally he got a telegraph from his wife, saved alone. His daughters drowned. He caught the next boat over. They get there. and he tells the captain of the ship, where my daughters died, I want you to tell me. I want you to go over the spot, and I want you to tell me before I get there. I want to be there. And he went to the side of the ship, and he just sat there and wept. He cried for his daughters, and he said, it is well. I don't know if I'm there. I don't know if I have that great of faith. It is well. No matter what happens in our life, it's well. I have had things that happen to me that ain't that bad, but I fell apart because my faith is small. My strength, there's a place in Proverbs where it says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know what that's saying? You're a wimp. If you can't take the little things in your life, you're a wimp. Man, I don't know about y'all, but I hate being called a wimp. It really does. It just sets me on, I don't know, it gets my blood flowing. I guess it's because I'm a Texan. I'm not supposed to be called a wimp. I was a wimp most of my life. Until my brother-in-law taught me that if I get out there and work hard, I can build up my muscles and I won't be a wimp anymore. So I was trying to be the hardest worker there on the job that I could be. God wants us to be the hardest worker for Him that we could be.
Amen.
God wants us to show, no matter what's going on in our life, that it is well. God wants us to trust Him. Just like that Shunammite woman who lost her child. That's the only thing she really wanted in her life. She put that child up in the room where the man of God was. I want you to look at this too. That child didn't come to life just like that. Gehazi didn't have the faith to raise that child. He had the staff of the man of God, but didn't have the faith of the man of God. Even the man of God had trouble raising this kid from death. It took a lot. It took the man of God to come in there and do it. You know what? It takes Jesus sometimes to bring somebody back to life. It takes Jesus sometimes to do something in our life that no one else can do. What we need to do is have faith that whatever He promised us, He's going to perform. No matter what we do, He's going to perform it. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before whom he believed. You know what we need to do? We need to believe God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't even matter what we think. He shut Zechariah's mouth up so he wouldn't speak a curse into his life. He couldn't speak another word until John the Baptist was born. And when he did, he proclaimed that this is going to be the one crying in the wilderness. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah that we're all looking for. Man, wouldn't that be great to have a child like that? Even God, before whom he believed, even God, wait a minute, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You know what? We need to start calling things in our life. We need to start speaking blessings in our life. And this is not a Pentecostal message.
Amen.
It's not a Pentecostal claim it and name it. This ain't what it is. But what we should do is speak blessings no matter what. The Bible says that we speak blessings and cursings out of the same fountain. How is that? So we need to start speaking blessings in our life. When we have anything bad to say, we need to keep our mouth shut.
Amen.
And that goes for anybody that we talk about. Boy, I one of my gifts is I'm supposed to be an encourager, but I could turn that gift around and I could not edify. Man, I could tear somebody down just like that because that's what I used to do my whole life. And sometimes we're like the friends of Job that came to him and started running their mouths about what God said, and God didn't say any of that. They said it. What we need to understand is if God says something to somebody, then God's going to perform it no matter what happens in between. God told David that he was going to be king of Israel. And the next thing you know, he's playing the harp for Saul, and it surely looks like he's going to be the king of Israel. Man, he's playing the harp in the palace for the king. And the next thing you know, he's living in a cave and in deserts, being chased by that same king, running for his life. But you know what? When he turned 30 years old, they anointed him king of Israel. what we got to understand, just like Abraham waited 25 years before God first promised him to have a child, until the day that Isaac was born was 25 years. That's a long time. It's a long time to wait. King David was a teenager when he was anointed with oil by Samuel. He was 30 years old when he became king of Israel. God's not in no big hurry. One day with the Lord's 1,000 years. So 20 years is a couple blinks to him. What he promised, he will do. What we got to say is it is well no matter what happens in our life.
Amen.
It's well. Hey, you know what? That man that sold everything and was going to go start serving Christ, that his kids got killed when that boat sunk.
Yes.
The very next week when he was going over that same spot, he said it as well. I don't know about y'all, but my faith needs to grow. I need to go through a little storm before I get there. So we need to go through the storms. We need to go through the trials of our lives. But just like that Shunammite woman said, it's going to be well. It is well. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. Sometimes we need to be around somebody who's strong in their faith, like Abraham. Somebody who's went through the storms of life that could trust God no matter what's going on. And that man's a man of God. You know, every time I hear about associate pastor, I think of a story of I heard Lester Olof tell. He said the man of God was up there talking to God on a mount, and here comes Aaron wanting to lead the people back to the world. He said that was the first associate pastor in the Bible. Yeah. He said that, and you need to understand that the man of God has been there. The man of God knows what's going on. The man of God is trusting God and knows he stands on the promises of God. And sometimes you need the man of God to pray over you. Sometimes you need the man of God to say, hey, it's going to be well. One time I was leaving, you know, people talk about spiritual warfare, but most Christians don't know about what spiritual warfare is, and most people who know what spiritual warfare is doesn't know that they're in warfare when they're in it. And I was going through something one time, and I mean, I was just, you know, there's a difference between possession and oppression. And I was going through something, and I walked out of my apartment, I walked down the stairs, I walked up the stairs, and I walked along the room, I was going back to the building, I was going back to the cafeteria. I used to go there I'd eat real quick, and I'd go read a chapter of the Bible every day. And I was coming back down, and we used to have the Weatherfords come in. And for all you young people, that was a Southern gospel group. We used to have them. They were old then. They're still old now. In fact, I think they quit touring. But Lily Fern got too old, I believe. But they used to sing the song, I Got a Feeling Everything's Going to Be All Right. And for some strange reason, I said out loud, I was walking, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. That oppression left me. I thought, man, this is great. And you know what? All it took was me saying those words. All it took was me standing on the promises of God. You know what? Everything's going to be all right. You know what? Even if we die, everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
When I first read this, I couldn't believe it. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Man, I couldn't believe that. Man, that's morbid. How in the world can you say something like that? I'm just a new Christian. I thought, man, this is about this life. And it's not about this life. We're not to look at the things that are temporal. We're supposed to be looking at the things that are not seen.
Amen.
Pastor talked about we're not going to get up there for another 1,000 years. But did you ever notice that the things we call precious down here aren't worth anything in heaven?
Amen.
That the streets are paved in gold because it's not worth anything up there? But I want to tell you something. Being in the presence of God is worth more than anything in the world.
Amen.
It's the greatest high there ever is. There's not a drug that can touch it. There's not any alcohol that can touch it. Being in the presence of God is something that you do not want to be away
Amen.
From. We need to start speaking blessings in our life. We need to start having the faith that Abraham did, the faith that the Shunammite woman had, that we need to say it as well. No matter if we're having the worst day of our life. I thank God for the worst day of my life. It drove me to Jesus Christ. And you know what? Every drug addict, every alcoholic that hit rock bottom, that hit their bottom, decided, I'm going to change. I can't do this anymore. That's the day that they really decided to change. And that's the day that they started walking towards God. I thank God for the privilege to be able to look back on the 10 years that I was there and see people change their lives through the power of Jesus Christ. And if God can do that in them people, He can do it in anybody. I thank God for the things that He written in His Word that we could read and say, you know what? It is well.
Amen.
It is well. I could just as easily be dead and in hell right now, but I'm saved through the power of Jesus Christ. I am so glad that it is well, no matter what's happening in my life. It's well. If we would have that, if we could get a hold of that faith, then we could move mountains.
Amen.
Matthew, I'm going to close. I don't know where it's at yet. I know it's in Matthew. It's not 4. And it's not verse 17. Come on, please, Lord. Let me see this. Right here it is. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Matthew 21. He left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said to it, let no fruit grow on these henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when his disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. This is not a claim it and name it message. But it is, where's your faith in God? How's your prayer life? First of all, I know that this church prays for each other. I know that I've seen sitting at these tables on Wednesday night and hearing the prayers go up. I've seen God move. I saw God work. And it's awesome. How's your belief life? You see, most people believe that God can answer all the prayers for anybody in the world except for them. And that's one of Satan's lies. You see, God can answer your prayer. God wants to answer your prayer. He loves you. And how shall He not give us all things if He gave us His Son? How shall He not work in our lives if He loves us? You know, everything that happens to us is not good, but God can turn it into good. That's the greatest thing about being a child of God. No matter if anything bad comes in my life, God can turn it to good.
Amen.
And there's going to be bad coming each and every one of our lives. Everybody here was going through something, is going through something, or fixing to be going through something. So what we need to understand is, you know what? No matter what we're going through, it is well. God can do anything in my life. God wants to do great things in each and every one of our lives. We got to go through some stuff before we can see His blessings on our life sometimes. I don't understand it, but I didn't write the book. All you got to do is trust on the promises. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You so much for Your promises, Lord. I thank You so much for salvation. And Lord, I thank You so much for this book. I'd be lost without it. We would be lost without it. I thank You so much for it. Lord, I pray that You would be with each and every person here, that You would bless each and every family represented. And Lord, that we would learn to stand on Your promises, that we'd have faith in You, no matter what the outward things are going on in our life, that we keep our eyes focused on You. Peter dropped into the water and said, Lord, save me. He was walking on the water, but he started looking around at the wind and the waves and took his eyes off You. I pray, Lord, that we keep our eyes on You, that we keep our hearts and our minds towards Your promises and towards what You tell us, and that no matter what anybody else says, that it is well with us. And we pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
conversation.
Notice again that when the Shunammite was quite a ways off, she said, "It shall be well." But when she got closer to the master, she could say, "It is well." Same thing with us. We can always say, "It shall be well," again. And notice the difference in that faith there. Well, there's a song in the book called "It Is Well." 145 songbooks that you don't have, so I'll lead you in a few of the words again, and you can jump in wherever you please. Great, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 flats. When peace